Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Dynasty Download Football Podcast. On this week's episode, we're almost back to full strength. We have Dr. Stan. Shame. This week, we're just going to go over some news and notes, a few more players that we're buying and selling, and a couple listener questions. How you guys doing today, fellas?
Not that bad. Good to be back from vacation, although I picked up a little bit of a cold up in New York. So sorry in advance for my voice.
Yeah, your wonderful adventure. You got, I would have gladly traded that, though. I would have came home sick for doing all the fun stuff it looked like you guys would have done.
It was fun. The Finger Lakes were a blast.
What was your most favorite meal up there, since we know you like eating well when you're out and about? Ooh. What was the most memorable meal?
I would probably say,
because you posted pictures of quite a few.
We had two good ones. The first one was actually after the night of my wife's marathon.
Reason you guys went up there, right?
Correct. Yeah, my wife ran in her first marathon, the Wine Glass Marathon in Corning, New York. And then that first night when we got done, after she slept for a good 4 or 5 hours and I watched football on Sunday, we went to a little place in Hammondsport, New York, called the Union Block Italian Bistro. Delicious. They had a shrimp mac and cheese. Everything is fresh, local ingredients, was absolutely delicious. And the second thing they had, not at that place, but a little pizza place, had smoked wings, which I've never personally had. I'm a big fan of smoked foods, but they were absolutely delicious.
You need to, if you like barbecue smoked stuff, you just need to go visit Shane, as I'm going to do this weekend. That's one thing for sure. I'm bringing a big lunchbox cooler back with me, with me, just so I can bring back barbecue and take it on the plane with me as a carry on. You bet your ass. I did every time I went to Houston. I went to Houston like 8 times last year for work, and that every time I would get food to go and bring it. I would purposely go buy a barbecue place and get. I would eat and then get like $40 worth of ribs or whatever and bring home and pile them with me and bring home for my wife. Because I mean, I'd go and I'd be back the same day, so it's perfect. It's only 2 hour plane flight, so you got to.
Yeah, well, you'll be a lot closer now once you move next week. So
yeah, that'll be awesome.
Speaking of smoking, let's talk about Tom Brady, and let's talk about how he's about to smoke.
That subtle segue right there.
Do you like that segue?
Stealing your thunder, Shane.
Dr. Stan may be sick, but he's bringing the heat tonight.
Yeah, keep going, Stan. Let's see what you got to say. Let's hear.
What do we think about Tom Brady? Coming back week 5, tearing apart the Cleveland Browns, sitting out what he sat out the entire fourth quarter, at least most of it from what I saw.
I have no clue. I don't know.
Let's not get crazy now. I mean, it was the Browns. I mean,
it is the Browns, but I mean, when you look,
and that's the Johnny Manziel list Browns. I mean, they don't even have him on the team. So how good are they really, for real?
You look at their at what they have around him. Bennett, what, he had 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, that they were. I watched the thing about that today, though, and Tim Hasselbeck pointed out Bennett was just the guy, the beneficiary of everybody else being covered. He was like the third or fourth read on every play. So, I mean, yeah, he did score touchdowns, but it was kind of 3 really not, I guess, luck in a way. I mean, Gronk said Gronk was the number one read on every play, and he just happened to be double or triple covered, so they just threw it to Bennett. So that, I guess, he benefited on that. But I would definitely – I don't think this is going to be Aaron Hernandez 2.0 by any means, but that's definitely a nice little bump the first week back with Brady.
And you look around, they have Amendola, they have Edelman, they have Chris Hogan, who was, I believe, over 100 yards. Gronk coming back, finally getting healthy from his hamstring injury. Only thing it looks like they're really missing up in New England is some semblance of a running game.
Yeah, but with Brady, you don't really even need I don't just let him throw it. I mean, we know how some games they'll hit 4 to 5 games, they'll throw, and then the last game they'll when you finally are like, I'm not starting LeGarrette Blount, and then he'll get 28 carries for 120 yards and 2 touchdowns, and then that'll go away for 3 more weeks.
Sure.
Yeah, they definitely are scoring some points. I don't know if they – and you got to think, with Brady getting up there in age and the Patriots going to be winning a lot of these games, are they really going to keep – I mean, I could see the Patriots going up early in a lot of these games with their defense and just chilling and sitting back and not going as balls to the wall as they did on Sunday. You know, granted, with Brady's first game back, I'm pretty sure they want to make a statement and just go for it. But
and that actually, you bring up a good point. I did see it was one of the national newscasts. They were talking. One of the analysts was talking about Brady possibly not that he was going to take it easy, but when you look at last year and you look at what he ran into in the playoffs against Denver. Do they possibly hold back a little bit and keep?
Yeah, that's what I could see happen.
Under wraps for a potential rematch in the AFC playoffs this year with the Denver Broncos, and that stellar defense that they still have out there.
Hey, if Matt Ryan can do it, Tom Brady can do it, right? That was surprising. You got to think that Atlanta offense is that good. If they could, they could do that against Denver. You're right. Denver's defense is really, really, really good. I looked a minute ago. Matt, 6.5 sacks this year already
for Von Miller.
Yeah, I mean, granted, he's been busted with PEDs multiple times, but still, that aside, he still does have 6.5 sacks, which is crazy through 5 games.
Yep.
Yeah, they're gonna be tough.
What do we get? If you had Brady on your bench, and like me, and was able to go 4-0, and now he's back undefeated, baby. Here I come.
Yeah, there's one team in my league that he has Ben Roethlisberger and Tom Brady on his bench coming back. So
He's set at
quarterback, yeah, but he has a tough decision to make each week. I mean, who does he start?
Yeah, I have Drew Brees and Andrew Luck, and that's kind of – I'm like, what am I going to do? It's been Brees so far these first 4 weeks, but, yeah, it's definitely a good decision to have when you have two quarterbacks like that.
Uh-huh.
So, speaking of coming back, do you think teams that many people were picking to be in the Super Bowl – the Cardinals or the Panthers are both 1-4. Do you think they can come back from this? Are we seeing what they really are? You know, who was that that said that? Was that Allen? What was that?
Coach? They are who they thought they were. Dennis Green, right?
Dennis Green. There you go.
R.I.P. Yeah. Dennis Green. Yeah, yeah. Four, coincidentally.
They are who they thought they were.
That was when he was with the Cardinals, I believe, right? He was correct. The Cardinals coach when he
started. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
They were who we thought they were. Yeah. Yeah, that guy's awesome.
Yeah, looking at stats, I think it was like something like 6% of teams who are 1-4 go on to make the NFL playoffs. I mean, when you look at just looking at the Panthers, okay, you look at that division. You have they're, I believe, now three games behind the Falcons.
Yeah, Atlanta's 4-1. Carolina's 1-4. The Bucs are 2-3, and New Orleans is 1-3.
I mean, that's going to be a hard thing to make up. I believe they've all played. Atlanta's played everyone at least once. So the Panthers are going to have one more game head to head against the Falcons. It doesn't look like the Falcons are slowing down anytime soon.
Atlanta looks tough. Their offense looks insane.
You have Cam Newton being concussed right now. I would think that he's going to be back next week from all reports right now. But just the amount of injuries that team has kind of suffered to date. Jonathan Stewart being out.
Thomas Davis has been banged up.
It doesn't look good for the Panthers. Yeah.
Yeah, the Panthers just look. I don't know about the Cardinals, but the Panthers being an NFC South team, I've watched quite a bit of that and owning Greg Olsen and Kuechly. They're one of my favorite teams to watch every week. But they just look off. I don't know what didn't take it seriously in the off season, and now they're just like, they look like they're still in preseason mode, like just half-assing it, not together, not focused, not like nothing's clicking.
The other thing with the Panthers is I think that their secondary is completely remade from last year. I mean, they have
Coleman at safety, but other than that, it's a whole bunch of
three out of four are changed from last year. They're starting what, two rookie cornerbacks, I believe.
Right, they drafted three. I believe they cut one of them, and then they're starting the other two. And then they cut the Ben Winkery guy that Julio smoked 2 weeks ago.
For fantasy purposes, if you have Cam, you have Greg Olsen, who I believe is the number one tight end.
Easily the tight end number one.
Right now.
Yeah, by far.
He's
got like 15% more points than Martellus Bennett at number two right now, which is insane this far.
For fantasy purposes, I think it's good for Panthers players because their defense, their front seven is still as good as they were last year. But they're going to get torched in the secondary. There's a good possibility that they might be playing from behind whenever they play a decent team.
Yeah,
so
you're right about that. Now they got murdered up front too last night. Jaquizz Rodgers made them look like Swiss cheese like the first three quarters of the game last night.
I think he had
huge holes to run through.
30 or 31 carries for 100 yards. It's like 3.7, 3.8 yards.
First quarter, he had like 67 carries or 67 yards right off the bat.
I think Atlanta was not Atlanta.
Carolina.
Yeah, I think they were. Tampa Bay was definitely looking to establish the run game. I don't necessarily think that it is going to be something that week in, week out, we're going to see a lot of teams running on the Panthers. I think that will improve. But definitely throwing on the Panthers, you can throw all day. Now, the other team in the question here, the Cardinals, what do you think about them? Same situation, 1-4.
From what I've seen, Carson Palmer just doesn't seem to be as good as he was last year and the year before. Like, he's kind of tailing off. I mean, he is an older quarterback. His body's been beaten down. I mean, he had that concussion last week. Maybe that gave the rest of his body actual physical break to kind of recuperate. But, I mean, I know getting a concussion makes you feel like you're hungover all week, so that's kind of yin and yang. You know, his body physically gets to rest, but, he feels horrible from having the concussion. But their offense just, I mean, besides David Johnson, they just don't. I mean, John Brown with the concussions starting slow. Michael Floyd continuing to be Michael Floyd. Larry Fitzgerald's been good so far. Larry Fitzgerald, I think, is the wide receiver six right now.
Yeah, Floyd. Floyd, I think, is the big issue right now in that offense and that team. I mean, watching their game, what they played Thursday night 2 weeks ago or last week. I think he had like at least two or three drops that I remember seeing. I mean, one hit him right in the hands on the sideline. It's like you have to come down with that. Now I believe he is in a contract year, so I mean, can he be overthinking a little bit right now? Can he be kind of stressing a little bit too much, possibly? I think if he can get on a roll, you're definitely going to see the Cardinals get back into the race. Because, I mean, truthfully, when you look at that division, the Rams, great defense, but they're the Rams and Jeff Fisher.
Hey, Todd Gurley hasn't even started rolling yet. Just wait. It's coming. They're going to the playoffs. They're going to win that division.
They have no offensive line. They have absolutely no offensive line.
They're a winning by the skin of their teeth every week.
Yes. No. You forgot. Kaepernick's back, so of course.
Get out of here.
The mess in San Francisco with Chip Kelly.
And I think that I think that crushes Carlos Hyde, because a lot of his success, if you've seen the most of good yardage he's gotten, has been off the read option that Gabbert has made the right decision and done it and gotten Hyde the good looks. Kaepernick did that before, but I don't see Kaepernick sucks in my opinion. The guy, there's a reason he got benched for Blaine Gabbert.
He doesn't suck. I mean, he lost his mojo obviously, but I mean, I'm not saying Kaepernick's going to come in and, you know, I was being tongue-in-cheek, obviously, when I hyperbole, you know, saying they're going to win. But, I mean, that's not like it's hard, but, I mean, he's definitely better than Gabbert. I don't think it hurts Hyde. I think it helps Hyde, actually, because Kaepernick can actually throw the ball.
I think the I'm kind of a little of on the fence here in terms of whether or not this is going to help or hurt Hyde. I think just the offense in general in seeing what Chip Kelly likes to do, I think that is beneficial. That's up Carlos Hyde's alley, similar to kind of what he did at Ohio State. I don't think that their offensive line is very good. I don't think that Kaepernick is going to improve their passing game at all. I think the big thing with him was he played under a good system when Jim Harbaugh was there. He excelled in what he was asked to do at that point in time. I think he is the same quarterback as he was then. I think he's not in the system that is ideal for him. And I don't think Chip Kelly is really I think their offense is ranked 31st. I think I saw earlier today.
They're last.
I could foresee Chip Kelly being back in the college ranks much sooner than later.
I hope he does go back to the college ranks sooner rather than later. I think what you're saying is fair about, you know, this not being the offense for Colin Kaepernick, but we haven't seen him in this offense yet, so we don't know. On paper, it should succeed. Whether it does or not remains to be determined. So,
yeah. The thing with Gabbert, I just think Gabbert looked good running the run read option they were doing. Granted, he can't throw, but I mean, I don't really think Kaepernick's much of a passer either. But to me, Gabbert just seemed efficient. His decision making seemed good with the read option. Gabbert to me seemed like a super wildcat style quarterback, to where he's not going to really beat you throwing the ball, but running the ball, they seem to be efficient and could somewhat. They looked better than I thought they would look, especially with Gabbert back there. I guess that's my.
Yeah, I mean, Gabbert's a check down specialist. You know, I mean, Kaepernick's right. Extend the field. It's probably going to help Torrey Smith. He'll probably have a decent game here coming up. And I think that's why it helps Carlos Hyde, because, you know, Kaepernick can pretty much only throw those rockets. You know, he can throw the slants and the rocket. That's about all he's got, you know.
Yeah, I guess you're right about that, about moving the defense downfield more, because he can just chuck it downfield. Yeah, you're right about that. He does have a cannon.
Speaking of guys catching touchdowns, everybody's dynasty darling, Justin Hunter, who was supposed to be the next Randy Moss. He's now in Buffalo. Should we scoop him up off the waiver wire? Is he starting in your leagues, guys? What are you guys doing with him?
Let's lump two players together here. Let's go Justin Hunter and Cordell Patterson.
Patterson, yeah. CP, forgot about my boy.
Those two were teammates at Tennessee.
Pass on both of them. One touchdown. And I remember watching his touchdown play on NFL Sunday Ticket. Taylor scrambled to his left. He threw a side-armed baseball throw. Hunter was wide open in the back corner of the end zone. He was just in the right place at the right time. I'm surprised he didn't let the ball go through his hands and hit him in the helmet.
That's cool. You just described like 90% of Calvin Johnson's touchdowns, though, for Matt Stafford. They're running, sling it sideways, throw it up, and catch it.
Justin Hunter is not Calvin Johnson.
I don't. The metrics people might argue with on that one. The metrics are there.
The touchdown didn't come on the play that Tyrod Taylor lined up behind the guard, did it?
No. It wasn't on that one.
Did you guys see that?
Yeah, I did. It was pathetic.
Hey, when you're worried about that many things and him reading the defense and all that, I can see how that does happen.
I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often than not.
Right. Those guys are all when they're all those big old fat linemen are all bent over wearing the same jersey. Can you really tell which one's which? I mean, especially if an unbalanced line, I could see about that happening.
Well, typically you can.
Yeah, it should be the one that has the ball.
Yeah. Shut up, Shane. Captain Obvious over here.
but in all seriousness, I mean, Cordell Patterson, Justin Hunter, they're both in situations right now for this year that I could see them having games where they produce. You
look just at as de facto with nobody else there to
do it. You look at Justin Hunter in Buffalo. Who else do they have at wide receiver right now?
Robert Woods
and Goodwin. And Woods. Neither of those guys are making me run out and
scoop caliber and scoop starting wide receivers on any other team. Yeah.
Justin Hunter has, like you said, he has the metrics. He has not produced to date. He has not been able to hold a job to date. He was cut from Tennessee, correct? He was correct. Released from Tennessee, and then he was released after three weeks in Miami.
Yep.
Now, give it, Miami does have a deeper wide receiver core, but if you can't stick with the team, I'm probably passing. Now, Cordell Patterson, you look at what's going on up there in Minnesota. He's getting some playing time over Laquon Treadwell.
They've been putting him in too. If you've noticed, Patterson's been getting regular snaps. It seems like more and more and more every week on offense.
And I think the big thing with him for a while is he wasn't picking up the offense. He wasn't picking up the playbook, so he couldn't really be trusted on offense. He has, I mean, you've seen what he's done in the special teams.
He's like Devin Hester, the poor over. I mean, he's awesome with the ball in his hands.
He's an athlete. He's talented. But can he put it together on offense? Can he put it together in the Norv Turner offensive scheme? It's a good speculative add. I wouldn't drop anyone of worth for him. But, I mean, there's worse players out there that are probably being rostered right now. Adam Humphrey.
Would you roster him? Would you roster him over Robert Woods? Let's just say someone got desperate and picked up Woods. You know, Watkins out.
I think
Woods
upside. I would probably. It depends on team. I mean, if I'm trying to compete this year, then I'd probably go for Woods, who I think would probably have a more solid role week to week. If I'm looking long term, could Cordell Patterson possibly spike his value over the rest of the season? Possibly.
Especially if you're in a return yardage league, because he is one of the best of his generation at returning. And that's another thing too. You think him and Devin Hester both, granted they're not even close to, I'm not even saying that, but they're both the best of their generation. As they're easily the best returners, but both of them had trouble picking up offense. I wonder why that is, or if that's just a coincidence or what. But they're super arguably the best guys with the ball in their hands in the open field, and they both are having a hard time picking up offense. Remember when Hester tried to be a wide receiver for a little while and then never really worked out on all the NFL teams he was on? It makes you kind of wonder what if there's a reason behind that. What do we got? We got what? Carson Wentz
yeah.
Finally threw a pick.
I was getting distracted here. I was watching my Giants trying to come back and win this series. You guys are eating into my baseball time. So, Dr. Stan, you're the Wentz wagon finally took a little bump there, huh? Did the wheel fall off or?
No, I'm putting this loss squarely on the shoulders of Ryan Matthews. Oh. He's running the damn ball to the right side, has the ball in his left arm. Cornerback comes up, puts his helmet right on the ball, fumbles, gives the darn game away. I mean that interception, he threw it up there for Nelson Agholor. Probably a little bit of an ill-advised throw. Didn't really look like Nelson Agholor made that great of a play on the ball. I think he either lost it or just was unsure of how to go for it. And I believe it was Darius Slay came over and he looked more of the wide receiver in that situation.
Well, Slay was coming towards the ball, though, I believe. If Wentz would have led Agholor more, I think he probably could have scored because Agholor had him beat.
Overall,
and I think Slay just – yeah, like they're playing cover three.
Overall, I really liked what I saw from him in terms of being able to come back from being down, I believe it was 21-0 or 14-0 early in that game. The Eagles' defense kind of let Theo Riddick kind of run on them early in the game. They got down. Wentz was cool, calm, and collected. Did I think he was going to go 16-0? I wanted him to, but no. Being realistically, he's a rookie quarterback. He's gonna go through his bumps. He had to get a loss out of the way. He had to get an interception out of the way. I think
that definitely takes the weight off his shoulders.
The big thing that I'm actually worried about with Wentz and Philly is they're losing their right tackle now. Lane Johnson was just suspended. His suspension was upheld for 10 games for a banned substance that he claims was with tainted workout supplements, as everyone does. So I think that is actually going to be the bigger issue there in Philly because their offensive line, they've been keeping him clean. He hasn't had to be under pressure the first four, five games of the year. So that's kind of what I'm more interested to see over the next couple games, especially as they get now into the heart of their schedule and their divisional games. They play Washington this upcoming week. So the divisional games in the NFC East are always going to be a bloodbath.
That's going to be fun for that new right tackle taking, trying to hold down Ryan Kerrigan this week too. That's going to be, that'll be a test right off the bat.
Yeah, I'm going to – go ahead.
No, I was going to say the other guy right on kind of the same topic, looking at Dak Prescott, equally playing on a very high level right now between him and Ezekiel Elliott. One, two, in my opinion, for rookie of the year right now down there in Dallas. Reports coming out now with Jerry Jones saying that Tony Romo, his MRI has come back clean now, showing that the fractured vertebrae is now healed. What do we think of that situation? What's ultimately going to end up going on down there in Dallas?
First thing that crosses my mind is, Jerry, don't ruin this. Just be smart. Romo's old and brittle. Just make sure he's completely healthy. I mean, from a medical standpoint, do you think his vertebrae is really healed up already?
At this stage, if you listen to the Dynasty diagnosis early in the year when we initially discussed this topic, this injury where he had his fracture, it was a stable fracture. It wasn't anything that was going to require surgery. So the big thing with Romo is when he is once it's healed, once the bone itself is healed, which is about 4 to 6 weeks, it's going to be pain tolerance for him to come back. So I think at this stage, this is kind of putting him at, I believe, the 5-week, 6-week mark. From the initial, actually, it might be more because it happened in the preseason. So it actually might be going on seven weeks right now. So I would definitely say that he is healed up. The big thing for him is now with him throwing the ball, with him being able to drive the ball, does he trust that area? How does he take a hit? How does he respond the next day after playing a football game or going through practice? That's now the big thing that he's going to have to deal with on the rehab standpoint.
Yeah, I don't think we were really surprised to hear this coming out of Jerry Jones' mouth. I mean, we all kind of assumed Romo would be back in the starting lineup, and after the bye week is kind of what the target date was. I mean, we probably didn't think Dak was going to look this good. Now, I'm not Prescott, but I don't think he's really better than Carson Wentz. I mean, just to kind of throw a bone to you towards Dr. Stent, I like Wentz better than I do Dak. I mean, Dak to me is a game manager right now. And yes, he's a rookie. They're making it easy for him. He's getting those screens.
He's in the perfect situation.
Exactly. Right. He's allowed to be a game manager. Yeah, Elliott's killing it. The yards on the ground. Yeah. Whereas the Eagles seem to be throwing the ball a lot more, especially downfield. I mean, you got to think the Cowboys have had Dez Bryant banged up for basically the whole season so far. I think the situation's kind of determining what each one is doing right now. But yeah, they both look awesome. And like Stan was saying earlier, the offensive line in Philly, that it goes to show the rookie quarterback doesn't exactly look like a rookie quarterback when they have excellent blocking week in, week out with plenty of, I mean, just be able to stand back there and not worry about running for their lives.
Yeah, speaking of rookies, what about Jordan Howard? You guys buying what he's selling right now? I mean, he's looking a lot better than...
Before we move on to Jordan Howard, just one last thing on the whole Romo situation is, do they possibly put him out there and say, all right, well, if he gets hurt, oh well, we have Dak Prescott. We have Prescott.
That's a sick twisted thing. Yeah, they could.
I mean, I saw someone talking about that earlier on TV. It's like they now know what they have with Prescott. It's one of those situations where Romo is still he's still the face of that franchise. I mean, when you think of the Dallas Cowboys, you still think of Romo.
And he is Jerry's boy by far.
It's not like you're just gonna bench him, cut him, trade him. That's not gonna happen.
Throw him to the wolves. Yeah.
But truly, I mean, when you look at his injury history, can you trust that his body is going to hold up? I truthfully, nothing about his current injury is saying, this is going to lead to another injury. But just what you've seen year in and year out, where he gets these. He gets knocked out. Is this a case where they just say, all right, the team is yours. Go out and play. If you get hurt, okay. We have Dak Prescott.
Nice knowing you. Thanks for your services.
That's more or less what Jerry Jones said. I mean, he's, you know, obviously he didn't put it quite like that, but
he didn't. I didn't know he actually said. Yeah,
I didn't know he actually said that. That Tony Romo is going to be the starter. I'm paraphrasing here because I don't have the quote, but you know, he's going to be the starter, and it's nice to know that we have another starter, you know, waiting to go if we need him. So I mean, that's basically what Jerry Jones' thought process is. We're going to put Tony Romo out there. If he gets hurt, we're good. You know, I mean, that's kind of what he's thinking.
Yeah. And I think they're in a good situation, as much as I don't like it because I hate the Cowboys. They're in a great situation. Their offensive line is the best in the league. They have the leading rusher in the league, most likely going to be rookie of the year if he continues it up. They just got their best pass rusher back. Their defense has been decent from what I've seen so far.
Or so, Claiborne's been playing good too. He was kind of a bust for 4 years. And yes. Now he's...
So I definitely think that the Cowboys are trending in the right direction. I would say that the two teams out of the NFC East are the Cowboys and the Eagles, and I'm looking forward to two great games coming up later on in the year. So,
you think your Eagles will be able to stop Elliott running the ball? Think that's going to happen? They going to have an answer for that?
Well, I own Elliott in both my leagues.
Conflicted answer. Doesn't that suck when you root for that?
So,
when the Saints, I'm not gonna lie, when the Saints and the Falcons play, I'm like, Julio, just please murder them, because I know that's gonna happen. Somebody's gonna burn the Saints secondary, and it might as well be Julio.
So my answer to that is, I hope that Elliott runs for 200 yards and Tony Romo fumbles the ball on the 1 yard line every single time.
I thought that's exactly what you're going to say, but Elliott gets to the one and fumbles or something like that.
I don't need him to score touchdowns. I just need him to score. I just need him like to run for 150, 200 yards.
And he doesn't even have to fumble. Just get within the five, and then Alfred Morris comes in and vultures the touchdown. There you go. Problem solved.
No, because I don't want
the Cowboys to score. He would hate that. That would be a double negative for Stan, because correct, his player's not getting the points, and it's hurting the Cowboys.
Yeah, right. I see what you're saying.
But let's talk about another rookie running back here, and you brought him up a little bit earlier, Shane. Jordan Howard. John Fox typically does not play rookies. He's kind of thrown into a situation here in Chicago where it's looking like their season is a dumpster fire. They now have the wonderful Brian Hoyer as their starting quarterback.
I would take him over Kaepernick. I was going to say that earlier. Hoyer hasn't looked that bad.
He's been decent, but he's still Brian Hoyer.
He's still Brian Hoyer, right.
But Jordan Howard, is he for real? I mean, I talked about him 2-3 weeks ago. Kind of when Langford went down, and I said he was one of my favorite running backs coming out this year. I kind of threw the comparison of Arian Foster. What do we think after 2 weeks of him carrying the load?
This is like Christmas for me, because I loved Howard. Howard was probably my number two running back in this year's class. He is and I said this a couple weeks ago when we talked about him, he is a NFL style, like an 80s and 90s NFL style true running back that is really good at running the ball. It's not sexy. He can't run a 4.3, but he's going to smash you, and they're going to give him the ball over and over and over, and he's going to move the chains. And the kid has looked awesome for these last two games that he's had. He's been the starter. He has looked great. He caught a passing touchdown this week. Granted, it was a check down. He just kind of ran up to the middle of the defense when they're playing cover two. But he has looked really, really, really good for being a rookie coming in. And I think John Fox knows what he has. If I owned Langford, I would be pretty pissed about this if I didn't draft Howard also. Because Langford is probably worth about a fourth of what he was a month ago.
Yeah.
Or maybe
Langford wasn't that good to begin with. I mean, and with that offensive line, Jordan Howard's still looking good. I mean, that offensive line is terrible. And he's still able to put up these numbers, you know?
I saw a couple runs, though, that he had on Sunday, and the Pensacola native, Josh Sitton, was just making huge holes on the right side of the line. And Howard ran behind him on a couple plays to where Sitton just stood up and pushed the guy out of the way like a big old grizzly bear or something standing up on his back legs, and Howard ran right by him. But he's definitely – for a bad offensive line, Howard's a good kind of running back, because he can create yards on his own and break tackles over and over and over again, which is something Langford, even before they drafted Howard, we knew Langford was not very good at. So that
– right.
That I think he kind of fits what that scenario is calling for right now very well. And he's even the passing work. He's looked – I haven't seen much pass protection that he's done since he's been featured, but he's caught passes on a regular basis every week. They're throwing screens to him. I mean, they're getting the ball. They're purposely throwing him the ball. And he's looked great.
Yeah, that's the big thing I'm surprised so far is how well he has caught the ball. Because he really wasn't known for catching the ball coming out of college.
It was Indiana.
Yeah, he didn't really do a whole lot in the passing game per se, but he's been able to hold his own. He's been able to put up some decent receptions. So I'm definitely liking what I see out of Jordan Howard. The big thing, I guess, I think he'll continue to produce for this year. The hard thing is then what happens into next year. He kind of is in the same situation that we were in with Langford last year, where, all right, going into the offseason, he might be perceived as their number one. He gets a spike of value, and then coming back next year, you have Langford, Howard split in time again. It definitely looks like they're
and the rookie running back they're going to draft. Don't forget, they're going to draft a running back.
It wouldn't surprise me. I would definitely think that they're going to take a quarterback this year because from the sounds of it, from everything that's coming out of Chicago, Cutler's done there. And I can't foresee any NFL coach hanging his hat on Brian Hoyer. So definitely look for one of the top three quarterbacks in this upcoming draft to wind up in Chicago.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
All right. Jordan Howard has had two games as a starter though, both over 100 yards.
Well, it fits right in line with what he did in college. Looking at his stats,
yeah, all he did was have the 150 yard games. Yeah,
he didn't run for less than 100 plus yards every single game he played.
Yeah, as long as he could keep healthy, that was his big knock was with the ankle injuries, lower body injuries, just over and over and over again. Well, hopefully he can stay healthy, but this kid run. I mean, he hasn't looked like a rookie in my eyes. He's looked very, very comfortable out there on the field.
All right, so let's now move on. Let's take a look. Let's stay in Chicago here, but let's move on to our buy and sell segment. How about that, guys? Cameron Meredith. What are we doing with him? He's
thanking the great folks on DLF that started the thread last week to tell us all to pick him up because half the people didn't know who he was, including myself. And I conveniently snuck on and was able to get him for a minimum dollar bid.
Going with Kevin White going down, I definitely think with Chicago being in dumpster fire mode here, they're going to be throwing a decent amount for the rest of the season. I'm definitely buying him right now. I would probably go and buy him over the two previous guys that we talked about, Justin Hunter and Cordell Patterson, especially with what he showed that first week. Let me look at his actual targets for that week, but from what it looked like, he kind of took the
like 12 targets or something.
Yeah, he took.
Yeah, he had 12 on Sunday.
He took the lead in that offense. Alshon Jeffrey had minimal targets. He had 12. He had 9 receptions, 130 yards, 1 touchdown, 12 targets total. So definitely worth an ad for me. I would buy him a third, depending on how your rookie draft is set up. I wouldn't go crazy with him, but if you can get him for a third round pick after one game, why not?
Picked him up in one league. I was able to snag him when I started him, and I had to. I mean, didn't have any other choices, but I think I totally agree. Probably not. Now, Stan, are you saying a third round pick in a like a 12 team league or in a 16 team league?
I play solely 16, so I'm basing that off of a 16 team.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I would definitely pay a third. I would buy for a third and sell for a second. I know I'm not going to get a second. You know, in a rebuilding league is the one I picked him up in, my orphan league. I'm going to hold on to him because what do I have to lose? Probably can only go up. But, I mean, if you're like you said, I'd rather have him over Cordell Patterson and Justin Hunter. I mean, right now it's just him and Alshon Jeffrey. And because
Eddie Royal too, but, I mean, Eddie Royal's
– that's true.
Yeah.
Did he do anything in this game? I don't recall seeing anything from him.
I think he was pretty quiet this past week.
Yeah, we're thinking that point of the season to where, like, this week there wasn't very many waiver guys. Maybe if you got Cameron Meredith before this week, you're good. But if he's on the waiver wire in your league, we're at the point in the season where there's not going to be many more guys that come out and have big impacts. If you look at what history's shown us, that around this time of the year, there's not many significant waiver claim guys out there that are going to be had this far into the season. So if you need a wide receiver and have some waiver bucks left over or have that number one waiver priority, I would say go ahead and get them and spend that money, because what you're going to get if you wait, you probably won't. I mean, there's a good chance we might not get anything else over the next couple the weeks as we go further in the season. The spiders from Mars is the forum member that started that thread. So if you come down to Senior Bowl week this year, the spiders from Mars, I'll buy you a beer down there. How about that? But yeah, I had no clue really about. I heard the name, but I even had no clue about him. And I was like, oh, this guy sounds familiar. I remember seeing him flash a little bit in a preseason game, but I was like, yeah, I'm gonna go grab him. And then, sure enough, 20 points this week. I think 24 points or something like that, and half PPR. So, yeah, he killed it.
Now, staying right along with the wide receivers, another buy-sell, Sammy Coates in Pittsburgh. Watching the game, that's the main game in our market here where I'm at in Steeler country. But he had two big drops from what I remember. Comes out later. He has a large laceration in his hand. Ended up getting 17 stitches. What are we doing with Sammy Coates? Is he buy or sell currently in that Steelers vaunted offense?
I would be selling, because I think you forgot his name. You got it wrong. I think it's his legal name is Sammy Stonehands Colts, or Coates, I believe, is his full name. But this guy was hyped in the offseason, and I was one of the people saying let him put up one good game and then sell him, because, like you said, Steelers offense, huge homer fan base. People think it's like the second coming of the 98 Vikings in the Steelers offense. They're just waiting for the wide receiver two to show up. I would be selling. If you get an offer for a first for him, I would sell in a heartbeat if it were me personally.
I mean, looking at the first five weeks here, he's put up games of two receptions, 97 yards on five targets, week two against the Bengals. Week four, six receptions, 79 yards on eight targets. And last week against the Jets, six receptions, 139 yards, two touchdowns, probably should have had two more, on 11 targets. So he definitely seems, for at least this year, that he is falling into that wide receiver two role, in Pittsburgh. I'd still like to see over the next two or three weeks as Le'Veon Bell completely gets going in that offense, because he had what I think Bell had nine receptions this past week. I think Coates would definitely be worth a second to me. I don't foresee anyone giving up a first round pick for him. Just because he's never going to be, he doesn't have the ability to be that guy in Pittsburgh. You have,
yeah, I mean, remember that. Remember that was Sterling Shepard, and people were still drafting him ahead of ahead of Michael Thomas, Treadwell, Doxson on a few occasions. I mean,
correct. And truthfully, with Shepard, I earlier in the year, I drafted him. I took him, I believe it was 1-6 or 1-7 in my league. I like Shepard in the slot role as a PPR guy. Sammy Coates is not going to be a slot receiver. Sammy Coates is a take the top off the defense type of guy.
Yeah, go deep, throw it. Yeah.
He's going to be his boom or bust. Antonio Brown is more of that cross the middle slot guy, the main target there in Pittsburgh. Unless Antonio Brown goes down, I don't think Sammy Coates is ever going to have the chance to be that guy. So with that being said, I would probably cap my max value with him at a second round pick.
See, I'm thinking you could get, especially up there where you're at, you get one of those Homer Steelers guys. I think you could get a first for him, especially in a 16 team league. I could see somebody going, "Oh, I want this guy. He's awesome. And he's going to be our Randy Moss."
If you could get that for him, then tell the other guy thank you. Send him a Christmas present. Be nice with him because
send him some of them smoked chicken wings.
Because you'll be able to take advantage of him later on as well in other trades. I don't see a first round value for Sammy Coates. It's not smart.
The most I would pay is a second, and honestly, I wouldn't even pay that. I would sell him if I had him.
Yeah, I'm not buying either. Yep, I agree.
All right, so moving on. Let's talk about one guy coming off of a pretty gruesome injury that has put up some decent numbers. I think he's top five tight end so far this year. Jimmy Graham, they're coming off their bye week in Seattle. What are we doing with Jimmy Graham? Buying or selling? And to go along with Jimmy Graham, what are we doing with Tyler Lockett, who so far this season has not really lived up to be the same player he was last year as a rookie?
I think you can still get Jimmy Graham for cheap. I would buy him. I'd probably throw a second out for him, a late second, mid to late second probably. I definitely wouldn't pay a first for him.
I would definitely agree with that. I mean, looking at the tight end position, I mean, aside from Gronk, who I would think he's going to come back into his regular form here, is there any other tight end in the league that you can hang your hat on week in and week out? Greg Olsen, but dynasty-wise, he's probably reaching the end of the line, I would think, in the coming years. He's getting up there in age.
Olsen's only 31. I think Olsen could keep going. Olsen plays like a 25-year-old too, to be honest. Olsen, I can see playing and being good for three or four more seasons. Honestly, Olsen is a beast.
I could see that.
He's a beast. I don't think he's holding up for another 3 to 5 seasons. I don't see that.
Easily 3. I mean, for sure.
If we bet, we could take a bet right now. If I bet you, if me and you bet, Stan, that he would be a tight end one for the next three in 2017, 18, and 19, I would take you on that bet right now.
I say
it would be yes.
I'm saying tight end one next year. I'm saying he's starting to fall off the cliff in 2018.
So are we going to take that then? 17, 18, 19, he has to be a tight end one. You gonna take that he's not going to be?
I would take that bet.
Okay. Hey, how about that? Bet number one on the podcast. We'll have to keep track of these.
Hold on. Are we saying tight end one, or are we saying number
in a 12? He'll be a top 12 tight end for the next three seasons, 17, 18, and 19.
All right. I could see that. I could see that. Would you say he's going to be a top five tight end in those 3 years? Would you say he can put up?
I would say who knows, because that a lot of that too can be touchdowns making the difference, especially at tight end. I think he'll be close. I think he'll 2 out of 3 of those years he'll be a top five, but you really never know.
I mean, you look at
touchdowns are dependent.
You look at the last 2 years, 2014, 84 receptions, a hair over 100 or a hair over 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns. Last year, 77 for 1,100, 7 touchdowns. Aside from that, he's cracked 800 yards twice in his career. I like Greg Olsen. I don't think he holds the top five tight end talent or the top five tight end value for 3 years. I would max, I'm saying 2 more years.
I can see. Okay, so who's going to come up? Because we don't really have any dominant. I mean, you got Gronk, and you got people waiting on Travis Kelce to still be a perennial top tight end. But we don't really have many. I mean, you got Hunter Henry, looks great so far.
I was going to say, Hunter Henry, I'm looking for things for him.
He for sure will be in that conversation.
You still have Jordan Reed. You have Jordan Reed.
Jordan Reed, correct, yeah. But there's not many other guys that I could see pushing Olsen out of that spot, really.
Ertz,
yeah. I was just going to say Ertz, maybe.
See, I'm just not a big Ertz fan, though. I don't, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, you got Hunter Henry, I think, for sure. Reed, for sure, definitely. Gronk's still going to be up there. I mean, who knows with Jimmy Graham. I'm still skeptic to even – I want to see more of this before I believe it.
Yeah, I don't think Jimmy Graham comes back and is a
Kobe Fleener, maybe. Does Kobe Fleener, as long as the Breeze is playing with him, Kobe Fleener should be up in that conversation.
If Eifert, he can, Ebron.
Yeah, true. You're right. I guess there are guys coming. But, yeah.
I like Olsen, but I mean for right now in terms of dynasty value, I'm probably saying it's Gronk, Reed, Eifert, Kelce, then Olsen. I would say right now he's probably currently my tight end, my number five.
See, I would Gronk is the only one I would take over Olsen out of all those guys.
I agree, because I mean,
it's because I like every week. Oh, I said last night during the game, Olsen needs to have a 100 Madden rating because the dude is good at everything, and his floor is so safe. I think there was one game where he disappointed me all last season out of all year. The dude is good. He's going to get you points every week. He doesn't miss time. He's a focal point of the offense. And like you said, with Carolina's defense not being as good, maybe this is their new offense where they're throwing it 35 times a game.
Now,
being a big part of that.
Let's run this into our next buy and sell, because I think the next point I'm going to make is going to affect the Olsen topic and also kind of lead into our next talking point. Cam Newton versus Aaron Rodgers. Okay. To finish up on the Greg Olsen, looking at Cam Newton, how many more years is he going to be able to put up to put up the numbers that he is putting up with and play the way he is playing? Because I think a lot of the Olsen ascension is due to Cam Newton. It's Cam, that's his security blanket. So, I mean, there's been talk over the past 2 weeks in terms of I think it was an AFC GM. They didn't release his name. It was an unnamed GM that came out and said he expects Cam Newton to be out of the league in 3 years, currently with how he is playing.
Wow.
Now
that'd be bad for the NFL right there, just because he's such an exciting player. Whether you like him
major,
or not,
there's major shock value with that. I don't agree. I don't think he's going to be out of the league in 3 years. But in terms of him taking the hits that he is taking, the style that he plays, it's the same as when we look back at Colin Kaepernick. I mean, Colin Kaepernick was ascending to the top of the QB ranks a couple years ago. Look where he is now. So can Cam Newton stay healthy? Can he change his game?
Same thing with not really related, but somewhat with Andrew Luck. These guys just getting beat, taking beatings in their body, just, you know.
The David Carr effect.
Right, over and over and over and over, yep. Yeah.
So looking at Cam Newton versus Aaron Rodgers, buying and selling, who do we have?
In a straight up pick this or that guy, I think I'm going with Rodgers just because I think he could do it longer at a higher level, to kind of like you said, to where I could see 5 or 6 more years out of Rodgers being a top five tight end or a top five quarterback, to whereas with Newton in 5 or 6 years, I don't know if maybe his legs will start to slow down by then. But I think the plateau is going to remain in place longer for Rodgers than with Newton.
Yeah, for me,
ceiling, but safer. I like safe with quarterbacks.
Cam Newton, Rodgers. For me, it's a toss up. Aaron Rodgers is going to get his. Aaron Rodgers is going to produce year in and year out. Cam Newton, I love the running aspect that he brings. I love the extra points that he is going to bring you each week in terms of his designed runs, his scrambling, his goal line touchdowns, especially where the Panthers don't have much of a running game with Stewart being out right now. I think they're going to definitely address that running this year in the NFL draft. I could foresee them taking one of the top running backs.
Remember how bad we thought the Carolina was going to draft Derrick Henry at the end of the first round? Like almost all the mocks.
They ended up taking another defensive lineman, I believe, right?
The kid from Louisiana Tech.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Vernon Butler, I believe.
Yep, Butler.
Yep.
So for me, I mean, Newton Rodgers, it's a toss up.
Come on, you got to pick one. This is a podcast. Come on.
Carson Wentz.
Okay, here's another one. Yeah.
Let's stay on track, brought to you by
the Eagles. Quick question, 5 seconds. If you could pick Aaron Rodgers or Carson Wentz, dynasty value going forward, which one would you take, Sam?
Next 3 years, Cam Newton. All right, go ahead.
Carson wins for the next 20 after that. Gotcha.
Keep us on track.
Here, Shane. See what happens when you're not honest, Shane. Like the last 2 weeks when I was me and Stan.
Yeah, well, I can't get a word in here with you two. I mean, between the two, I'm taking Aaron Rodgers. Just because if you had, you know, like I was saying in week one in our first episode, I didn't believe Cam Newton was going to sustain what he did last year. And granted, he's been hurt, the concussions and getting injured, and the whole team hasn't looked that great. I mean, so right now my call is looking good. I think Cam Newton will change his game. I don't think he becomes a pocket passer by any means. He won't become a Russell Wilson, but and be able to, he wants the contact. I think that's the hardest part.
Well, yeah, he's 6'5". Change of his game. Of course, he wants contact.
Yeah, I mean, he's just bigger. He's just bigger than everybody. Right. He's like, I can run him over. I can take him out.
Yeah,
but he's got to be able to change his game. And if he does, what we're talking about just a little bit with Greg Olsen, if he's able to throw more, that's going to improve Greg Olsen's value. It's not going to take away. But between Cam Newton and Aaron Rodgers, I want Aaron Rodgers, and I would have said that at the start of the season.
You would have said your mic cut out. You said Rodgers, right? Just to confirm that?
Oh, yeah, Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, just making sure. Yeah, it cut out for a second. All right, last one. I'll throw this one out there. I've been driving the train since draft season last year. Jay Ajayi finally got the big workload. Not the big one, but he by far led the team. He had 13 carries for 42 yards and a touchdown. The rest of the running backs only had 3 carries total, and then Jarvis Landry had 1 carry. Ajayi looked good on a couple of the carries he got. Granted, this is just over 3 yards a carry for what he did for the game, so that's nothing to write home about. But the Dolphins they straight up cut 2 starters on the offensive line after the game. So you can obviously see that the Dolphins aren't happy with their offensive line as it is. Ajayi, are you guys buying or selling that he is going to remain at least the starter the rest of the season in Miami?
Billy, when is your trade deadline in your leagues?
Ours is the week before Thanksgiving, whatever week that is.
Okay, so you have about 5 or 6 more weeks to sell his ass.
I actually sold him last night. I did a deal and sold him last night for Michael Thomas. I did a big deal with 13 for 42.
He had
with
13 carries. That is not a workload. Aaron Foster.
It's good that you made that. It's good you waited to make that deal, Billy, until after the game.
Arian Foster is coming back. I would think Arian Foster is going to be the lead running back there if he can stay healthy. And I think the Dolphins are going to be, again, I hope they're – with how many times I'm saying that teams are going to be buying running backs next year, I hope there's like 12 running backs coming out.
The first round.
they're going – I think they're going after one of the top running backs next year. They're set at wide receiver. Like you brought up, their offensive line needs help. I would say first or second round, the replacement for JHI is being drafted. So for me, I'm selling. I don't know. I talked to one of the
other. The price comes down to it, though. If you could buy him for a second right now.
I would sell it. I would sell him for a second.
I basically got an early second for him. If you look at how my deal broke down, it was a big deal. But I was thinking of a mid to early second. It was about what I was getting for him, and I was fine with that, given I don't have a first next year. And in a 12-team league, my other running backs are Jordan Howard, Mark Ingram, Gurley, and Elliott. So I was kind of loaded, and Melvin Gordon that I bought in the offseason, but
He was more of a luxury pick.
If I needed a running back, I would buy him all day for a second. But you had to have already been a believer in Ajayi as it is, like I was the whole time since he's came to the league.
I was talking to one of the other, actually our co-commissioner in my one league earlier in the year, because he was getting a couple offers for Ajayi, and I kept telling him at the same time, sell. And that was the time where Ajayi was still getting the hype of being the lead back before the season, before they brought on Foster. And he kind of let that time pass. I don't think he's going to get back up to that value. I would sell him for a second, mid-second, easily right now. So,
yeah, he didn't get a work. I didn't mean to say it's not like he got a huge workload, but he still dominated the carries in the backfield. And Adam Gase was saying he's going to focus on narrowing down the running backs and getting he's going to try to make it more of a lead running back rather than a super platoon of the 5 or 6 guys that seems like they've been getting carries every week. The Damian Williams, Isaiah P, Drake, Jay, you know, the whole. Letting everybody run the ball the last couple of weeks to where he wanted to let a guy get the ball and get in a flow and work in the game and try to get going in a rhythm. But, you know, with 13 carries in the game script they had this past weekend, he can't really – he didn't really have enough time to get going, I don't think. But, I mean –
the sideline only looked good because he had that touchdown. I mean, if he didn't have that touchdown, he would have
been – Right, but – But at least, I mean, the carries, I think the talent's there, but I mean, he's got to get carries to build up. Like Gay said, you got to get the guy, any running back, you got to give carries to get going.
True. But I mean, I agree with you guys. I think he's a sell. I mean, if you're the original owner, it's going to be hard to swallow selling for a second. I mean, after this game, I think maybe try to go ahead and sell for a first, but I would settle on a second. All right. Well, good job, guys. That'll wrap up this week's show, or this episode at least. We have a few listener questions we're going to get to later in the week. Dr. Stan and Billy are going to put out another dynasty diagnosis for you guys. So if you have any questions on any of your injured players, be sure to find us on the DLF forums. That's dynastyleaguefootball.com. Again, we're not associated with the website, but that's where we hang out a lot. We love the website. We're all premium members. So, you know, pay the $30. You're going to get excellent content, rankings, and you're going to be able to talk to fellow managers like yourselves to get ideas and just to see what's going on. I mean, get in there on the forums. It's free for the forums. So sign up and find us on there. You'll see Coogan Football. That's Billy. I'm Spartacus P-Tech. Shane. Stan is Teprovich. Is it 88? Yeah. And then Steve is I'm a Rounder. Once again, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at @DDLF_podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe. We're on iTunes. Let's see, iTunes and Google Play. So find us on either of those platforms, whichever is easier for you, and SoundCloud. And you can find find all three links in any of our what's called signatures on the DLF forum. And then next week, what we're gonna start diving into the 2017 draft class. We're gonna start doing mock drafts, as it were. We'll probably do maybe picks each week. Take on those players, what we like and what we're seeing from them. Talking about rebuilding strategies. Excuse me. Next. Don't forget, you can find us at DDLF_podcast. Thanks again from all of us here at Dynasty Download Football, and we'll see you next week.